House Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the time is 3:30 p.m. The date is Friday, March 31st, 2006. Members present, Representatives Crawford, Lynn, Roeperg, and myself, Chairman Anderson, and Representative Cott is on his way. I know that Representative Ledoux has been excused. She's out of city right now, just flew out. We do have a quorum. I see Ryan there from Senator Cowdery's office. We'll bring him back up to answer any last-minute questions. This will be the third time I think he's come. I think we've weighed this out, and if folks don't like the bill, they can vote no, and we'll wait for Representative Cott because I know he's supportive of the bill as written. And then we'll get to House Bill 40, insurance company self-audit information, and then House Bill 29, Representative Roeperg's bill, health care insurance compensation, health insurance. So I don't know what title that is.
Gia.
Okay, Gia. Ryan, go ahead.
Chair Anderson and members of the committee, I'm just here to answer any questions. I think we've pretty much gone over what we've done. Is the sponsor's intent to leave it as is, without unamended, as I said before, the language that is under consideration right now to leave in was tied into some other statutory language that we're pulling out, and actually would substantially change the bill, and it would be a policy call that could affect this bill that's actually intended just to fix the language right now so it's enforceable.
Okay, we'll hold the bill till Representative Cott's here. Thank you. Representative Guttenberg is here. Representative Cott is here. We have Senate Bill 273 before us, gentlemen. Senator Cowdery said that he believes that the way it's written with the repeal is necessary. So I've stated that I don't want to keep bringing poor Ryan back here day after day for more determination. You should understand it by now. And on your off time out of committee, you could have done some statutory inquiry. So let's have an objection and a vote if necessary. We're trying to move the bill out. No, we don't.
Object for discussion purposes.
Okay, well, first let's have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 273 with individual recommendations attached, fiscal note or notes.
Okay. Is there an objection?
I object, Mr. Chairman. Just to ask the sponsor a question. It was one I asked, I think, two meetings ago, and that was whether or not the sponsor would be amenable to immediate effective date based on what you said. This is already ongoing. Let's take care of these guys. We're going to do it immediately.
Representative Cott, through the chair, that the sponsor just basically let it be known to me just to keep it as is. That is a good consideration. We could possibly amend in the next committee. The sponsor just wanted to get it moving, and I brought that up with him, and he told me to let the committee know he wanted the bill to be unamended currently. Is his wishes, but obviously that's the policy call by the committee.
Okay. Representative Roeperg?
Mr. Chairman, with the 90-day rule, it might take as long in the limbo file or something to get it done if we amended it than it would otherwise. So if that's what the good rules chairman from the Senate does, well, I'd agree with that.
All rise, please. Kirk Wickersham has entered the building.
Mm-hmm. 15-year penalty for having too deep a tan.
Good. Okay, so do you remove your objection?
The urging of Representative Roeperg, I'll remove my objection.
Okay, any other discussion? Hearing none, any objection to the movement of the bill out of committee to the next committee of referral? Seeing none, so moved. Thank you, Ryan. We look forward to you coming every committee meeting to our hearing. Very exciting. House Bill 480 was pulled, correct, Josh? Representative Ledoux asked that we pull that. That's actually my bill. I forgot about that because she won't be in town. She wanted to enter into the dialogue with some questions, so we'll hold that till next week. So we have one bill remaining, House Bill 29, health care Shia issues. Representative Roeperg?
Mr. Chairman, if I could be kind of ask the committee to adopt the CS, and therefore I'd move the CS for House Bill 29, 24LS0191/R-Bailey-232206.
Okay. So you've moved that for discussion purposes?
Yes, sir.
Hearing no objection, version R is before us of House Bill 29 for discussion.
Mr. Chairman, what I'd like to do is just very briefly indicate that this legislation is before us. We've heard this bill before, but there was some objections raised because of the spreading of the assessments throughout the covered lives, including self-insured groups through the state. Being a receptive person who listens to the public. I've therefore changed the entire funding source of this and deleted those sections of the bill and rely on the current assessments to the health insurance industry for the additional monies needed to keep the Comprehensive Health Insurance Association pool, which is the high-risk pool, alive. And what that does, Mr. Chairman, very briefly, is title a insurer to a premium tax credit for 50% of the assessment that would otherwise be applicable. Right now, I believe the assessments are in the range of $4 million. $3.5 million, and this would allow some $1.75 million to be taken as a credit against premium taxes, which are over $50 million. We can have the staff speak to that, and that's it in a nutshell. We do have a letter from you should have in your files from our Comprehensive Health Association. And those board members, unfortunately, are not available today. Jeff Davis is chair of ACHEA, Brian Angel, vice chair, and Missile Cecil Biker, which our executive director, are unfortunately not able to make by teleconference our meeting today. But if there's a letter of March 31 in your file, if the members could take a quick look at that, there, all the memberships in support of this, and I'll ask Ms. Campbell from the Division of Insurance to come forward and explain some of the technical aspects of the bill. And I would ask that the members avoid asking her policy questions. There's a public policy decision here on a part of the legislature. That is to say, should or should we not grant a tax credit to the insurance underwriters out of the current premium taxes that the underwriters pay to the state now. So as a neutral person, we should try to avoid that.
So. Got it. Come on up. It's rock and roll. It's Friday, Norm.
That's right.
Katie Campbell, Life and Health Actuary with the Division of Insurance. I'll just go over that there's a few cleanup, I'll call them, items. And the Section 4 is the first one I'll talk about. This one makes a bit of a correction in the way that the formula works, so that the membership is assessed based on only their major medical premium. They're members because they write major medical, not for long-term care insurance and other types of insurance, and yet they were being assessed on all of these other types of coverages. So this just makes it consistent with their member if they write major medical and they're assessed on the major medical only business. The Section 5 is a fairly simple correction. When an insurance company stops writing business in the state, they're still assessed for premiums they've written for the prior year, to the extent that's the only assessment base we have, and what we use is the prior year's premium. So it's not until their business has run off that they're no longer assessed, and that just makes that clear. The next section is the premium tax offset, and then the last section I'll touch on is the definition of major medical. We've clarified that there are certain types of products that are just not considered major medical, and you can see the listing there: long-term care, nursing care, accident-only coverages, disability income. Some of the companies who wrote fairly large amounts of like accident-only coverage, really cheap accident coverage, were being assessed on those kinds of premiums in the past. So that clarifies the definition of major medical.
Great.
And I think that's
any questions? Seeing none, then next we'll go to the folks online. We have John from Aflac. Oh, John George. I didn't recognize your signature. I should call you Dr. George, as bad as you write.
Thank you, I think.
Friday.
Did he yeah. bring the duck?
Being Friday, I'll make this quick.
He has a lot of catch up to do.
I
I just chaired judiciary. Give me a little slack.
I'm John George. I'm here today representing Aflac. Aflac is a member of ACHEA, being a health insurance writer. Essentially, the reason we have ACHEA is a federal mandate. They said you must have some sort of mechanism to provide this type of coverage. The state could have funded it out of general funds all along. They chose to assess the insurance industry to pay for this. It's always a trickle down, though. Any time the insurance industry has to pay, it actually goes back down to the policyholders. In this case, the policyholders are not the major employers, the unions, the state of Alaska, the other groups that are self-insured because they don't pay premium tax. They don't aren't subject to a CHEA, which means that the small business, the mom and pop grocery store, or the individuals buying an individual health policy are shouldering 100% of the burden. They're contributing $3.5 million a year to support this program. What Representative Roekberg is trying to do is spread that out a little bit, take some of the burden off of the individual policyholder, the small businesses who are struggling to try and find a way to provide health insurance to their employees. And I think we all recognize that that's a beneficial thing for people to have health insurance. And if you don't belong to a large group like the state of Alaska or a union plan or some of the other major self-insurers, you know, you either can't afford insurance because of this add-on and others, or you know, you're paying to subsidize this program. So we strongly support the concept of spreading this risk out a little bit, and urge you to take some of the burden off of the small policyholders.
Thanks, John. Are there any questions for John? Representative Roper, the sponsor, has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. George, with the with the definition in the of major medical being adopted into this bill, would this affect one of your clients, Aflac? Would they still be a participant?
Representative Roekberg, through the chair. Yes, they would still be a participant. They are not a major writer of major medical insurance. They are a major writer of those other insurances that Katie Campbell was referring to, and so their assessment is far, far in excess of the total major medical premium that they write. So this would, in fact, benefit Aflac just because of that factor.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I want to point out, I think Aflac's been very good about even participating in this, where they may have tried to use a loophole to get out of it, and they've been very, I think, forthcoming and by being a member of the association. Mr. George, in your former role, one time you were a director of insurance, are very knowledgeable about this industry. Do you look at the potential and the rising amount of these assessments as a barrier to entry for health insurance underwriters in the state of Alaska?
Representative Roekberg, through the chair, Alaska has never had enough health insurers, and anything you can do to remove some of the burden will assist. Will this cause five insurance companies to, you know, rush to the state? Probably not. But if there's someone that's, you know, thinking about it, and you can encourage them by this, then it would definitely be a help. And it's the right thing to do. I think it is removing an impediment. Whether it would actually cause another insurer to come, I can't say that for sure.
Any other questions for your sponsor for your bill, Representative Roper?
No, that's enough.
Even on his own bills, there's a gauntlet by him.
Just putting it on the record, Mr.
I know, I'm just teasing. Okay, anyone else that wants to testify? I see Barbara and some others. I'm not sure where folks stand on this issue. Okay, any more questions from the committee members? Seeing none, can we have the motion to move the bill out of committee? Representative Roper?
Mr. Chairman, it's been brought to my attention by the administration. There's been a slight drafting error, and we wanted to make a small amendment so it conformed with the fiscal note.
Go ahead.
With that, I'd like to make a conceptual amendment directing attention to the committee to page 3, line 29, we'd like to delete January 1, 2007, and replace that with March 1, 2008.
3, line 29?
Here. Yeah. Page 3, line 29, delete January 1, 2007, and put March 1, 2008. Mr. Chairman, if I might point out that this will allow a zero fiscal note impact in '07. So the impact of the decrease in GF revenue would fall in '08, not in '07. And allow the time, because it's a backward-looking assessment, you have to have accrued the amount before they can assess it. They look back from March, when that's due in March, and looking backward to the prior fiscal year. So.
Got it. Any objection to conceptual amendment number one, changing that date? Hearing, seeing none, that's adopted.
You want to move it?
Okay. And Representative Lynn, motion to move the bill?
Mr. Chair, I would move CS for House Bill 2924-LS0191-R as amended with attendant fiscal note.
Hearing no objection, so moved. We are adjourned at 3:46 TGIF.